Wednesday, September 2nd, marks the end of World War II. While this pandemic has forced the cancellation of many of the planned events for the 75th commemoration, one thing it hasn't affected is the aerial parade of our warplanes. You may have spied some of them in the skies over Oahu this weekend. The big gathering in the skies is set for Wednesday morning above Pearl Harbor. So if you can be in the area, look to the heavens for a glimpse of the vintage planes that played a major part in the war in the Pacific. One of those warbirds is a B-25 medium bomber. Pilot David Prescott owns and brought the Old Glory over from upstate New York. He talked with us this morning about the plane's part in the Doolittle Raid, the attack on Japan following the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
So the Doolittle Raid, one of the most significant impacts, I feel, you know, about that raid was, one, the United States was very downtrodden and morally beaten, by the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Early in the war, you know, we were beaten back in the Philippines and not really winning anywhere. The Japanese had a history of nobody having ever attacked their home islands. And they came up with, the planners came up with a brilliant raid that wasn't going to do a lot of significant military damage, but it did significant emotional damage to the Japanese by striking their home island. And the Japanese at first didn't know where that attack came from and assumed the only place that attack could have come from was Midway. And so that led to them starting the plans for the attack on Midway, which luckily went our way due to our code breakers and helped change the outcome, the path of the war.
Now, from what I understand, that when the B-25s went out, a lot of those pilots were told, you may not return.
It was a very high-risk mission. They all knew going into it, there were a lot of things had to go perfect and a lot of things had to go right in order to have a chance of success. And as we know from the stories, they ended up having to launch 170 miles earlier than originally planned. And, as we hear that today, 170 miles, that doesn't seem like a lot. Well, in an older World War II plane that burns a lot of gas, 170 miles is almost an hour's worth of fuel. It's a long added range. I've always been a World War II aviation, especially Pacific, fan and an aviation buff. I just happened to have the opportunity, through my life, and got lucky with a business that I had and sold to have the financial opportunity to acquire some of these artifacts. And, my passion is being able to share what I have with others, because I myself, as a kid, always dreamed of being able to sit on a bomber or touch a fighter or see them a person. So, I want to continue sharing that with as many other kids as I can.
So how many planes do you own in your collection?
So currently I have four warbirds right now, and it'll continue expanding as I find the right aircraft.
And so what's it been like for you, hauling this airbird across the country and across the Pacific to take part in this?
Yeah, the amazing stories of every place we pull into for fuel, they bring crowds of people that have just always dreamed of seeing these up close and in person, out to see them even when we stop just for a few hours for fuel.
This plane, did it take part in the battle in the Pacific, or was it mainly in Europe?
The particular B-25 that I have was assigned to Italy. So if you remember the movie Catch-22 or the book Catch-22, it operated out of Corsica in Italy for it part of World War II.
So it was intact and just waiting for you to snatch her up and bring her across over here, huh?
Correct.
Gosh, you've been able to connect with some of these veterans. One, I understand, of Jack Dutour, he's a former World War II B-25 bomber pilot, so that must have been a thrill.
Just so amazing how much clarity he remembers and immediately pops into his mind, as soon as he saw the plane and got to ride in the aircraft, how vivid those images just come right back to him. In fact, a funny part of the story is the driver from the Pacific Aviation Museum who drove him over, kind of had to rush him along, to leave and end his discussion with us, that day, just because he just wanted to keep sharing and talking. And I wasn't going to say no.
The plan for Wednesday, what can you share with our listeners?
Well, the plan for Wednesday is, it'll be an aerial parade over Ford Island and the battleship Missouri and the USS Arizona to kind of do the best we can to recreate the victory flyover over the USS Missouri, which the USS Missouri experienced in Tokyo Bay for the signing of the end of World War II by all the Allied powers and the Japanese, bringing a formal end to hostilities for the world.
And so, yeah, if we're out there, then we should get a good vantage point.
Yes, the B-25 is one of the loudest airplanes, so you will definitely know it's coming, and it'll be leading the parade. So you'll see it. It's nice, bright, shiny silver. So
we'll catch its glint in the sky. And then what's it been like for you coming here to Honolulu? I don't know if you've been here before for any of the commemorations of December 7th.
No, I haven't. This is actually my first time for any of the commemorations. I was here once a couple years ago with my family for vacation, but this is a totally different experience, being able to actually, you know, get closer to, you know, what really happened and, you know, and see what really happened. You know, we had the opportunity to go out on Ford Island and actually see the, you know, the bullet strafing marks in the concrete that are still there, and realize, you know, as you look at photos from December 7th, 1941, you know, as to, you know, how things have evolved and changed, but our history is still here.
Wow, so this really caps off your love and your passion for this part of history.
You know, that's the amazing part about doing, you know, things like this, is that you can't replace, you know, the real touch and feel of things with looking at stuff on the internet or looking at them in a book. That's, you know, that re-ties back into, you know, my whole, you know, drive of being able to have, you know, these aircraft around the country for our next generations to hear, see, and I know this sounds crazy, but smell. I mean, when you go to an airport and you see a radial engine airplane, you know, like these start up, fire up, and, you know, and run, they have a totally different smell to them, and it's something you're not going to forget.
Well, hats off to you, a salute to you for keeping a bit of this history around for all of us to experience on Wednesday. You folks also, as part of this thing, brought over a whole shipment of
Toys for Tots,
yes.
Yep. I appreciate you taking the time to point that out. So I'm a Navy veteran, and one of the things that I did to, to kind of keep going after I got out is I got into Toys for Tots pretty good. Just how can you not love giving toys to kids? I mean, it's so simple, it's so easy, it's so impactful. So one of the guys that worked for me was a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he was still is in charge of the Toys for Tots region where I'm from. And through his connections, Gunnery Sergeant Roman, through his connections, we were able to get the Marine Corps to quickly get a semi-truckload of pallets delivered to San Diego, so that we could load them aboard the USS Essex, and under the guise that they were extra parts for the B-25. But no, the Navy knew what was coming, and they were very happy to assist in getting toys over here for Toys for Tots.
And hopefully there was a toy plane in that shipment. Touching young and old hearts. That was Dave Prescott, pilot and war buff, whose aircraft, the Old Glory, will be in the aerial parade over the USS Missouri September 2nd, Wednesday, the 75th anniversary of the signing of the Japanese Instrument of Surrender.